warm welcome to this service of devotions on Good Friday, coming from St Mark's Reigate. My wife and I will share the readings and reflections, and our singer is Jane Searle. This is a time for us all to reflect on our Lord's Passion on this solemn day.
Jesus is scourged and crowned with thorns. Mark chapter 15, verses 17 to 19. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him.
What it is to be soldiers of the great Roman Empire. We can flog a man almost to death, and then when he's bleeding, nearly senseless and totally powerless, we taunt him and mock him and abuse his humanity. We can do it because we are so great and powerful and strong. I'm not squeamish. I can prove myself in battle as well as any man. I can stand against an enemy who's worthy of the fight. But this Jesus was no threat to the authority of Rome. I've heard him teaching, watched him healing, and wondered whether he might be right about God and love. They said he was an impostor, a self-proclaimed Messiah who had to be silenced once and for all. They're making us do the dirty work of execution, but I think they're wrong. As he reels from the blows, his blood, sweat and tears mask the life and light I once saw in his eyes. And when those tortured eyes meet mine, I see in them only honesty and integrity. I have to look away. The scourging is done. His skin flayed to the very bone. Let him go. Let him find relief for his pain. This should be the end of it, but it's not. Now we have to crucify him if he lives long enough. I don't know what we're doing. I do know there are people here who will live to regret this day. Jesus, don't look at me in that way. Maybe you were right in what you said, but it's too late now. You're as good as dead, and there's nothing I can do. I have orders to follow. The kingdom of your God, in the end, has no power, and we are the great Roman Empire.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you face the torment of barbaric punishment and mocking tongue. Be with those who cry out in physical agony and emotional distress. You endured unbearable abuse. Be with those who face torture and mockery in our world today. To you, Jesus, the King crowned with thorns, be honour and glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Jesus is crucified. Mark chapter 15, verse 24. And they crucified him, and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take.
They crucified him. Three stark words to describe an act so brutal and cruel that few can bear to watch it happen. Hammers driving nails through flesh into wood. Blood staining the ground beneath the body. The sound of human agony and the dreadful indifference of the torturers. No wonder the people who tell this story never dwell on this final act. He was crucified and felt in his body all the physical pain that human beings can deliberately inflict on each other. They divided his clothes among them. They stripped him, exposed his torn flesh and lifted up his naked body, shaming and humiliating him by turning his final hours into an exhibition for all who passed by. Turning their backs on the man they had treated as anything but human, they cast lots for his clothes. What sort of trophy is it that he's taken off a powerless man when he can do nothing to resist? This is a man who loves his enemy even now and would gladly give his shirt or walk the extra mile. They didn't need to take from him. They had nothing to fear from him. The wounds now inflicted on Jesus will leave their scars. They are for us signs of the promise that when we are hurt, we will be healed. When we are broken, we will be made whole. When we are shamed and humiliated, we will find dignity restored. And when we suffer the darkness of loneliness and isolation, God's loving presence will surround us. We will carry the scars, but we will also be transformed and made new in body, mind, and spirit, within the love of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you bled in pain as the nails were driven into your flesh. Transform through the mystery of your love the pain of those who suffer. To you, Jesus, our crucified Lord, be honour and glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and for ever. Amen.
Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree?
Jesus promises the kingdom to the penitent thief. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 43. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? We indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
I hear the promise Jesus gives to the penitent thief and wonder at its meaning and the paradox of new life given at the time of death. I think I might know, a little, how this man feels, nailed to a cross, unable now to undo any of the things that brought him to this desperate point. My cross is not a real one made of rough wood. My cross is the past to which I'm nailed, and my pain is in my soul. But I feel something of his despair, of his bitter-tasting regrets and icy fear of the darkness that lies ahead. It's too late now to mend relationships broken by my selfishness and lack of love, to say I'm sorry for the hurt I've caused, to forgive the damage done to me, to quell the fear inside and live a bolder life, to dream the dreams and reach out to grasp them, to value life and live it to the full. It's all too late, and I want to leave the darkness of this life for that unknown darkness that surely can't hurt as much. Then I hear again this story of hope and promise. It's so familiar, yet suddenly so compelling, filled with meaning. Like that thief, in Jesus I see my own anguish and despair, and know he understands. I know why I'm here, but not why he's beside me. I know my own self-loathing, but also now see his flowing, compassionate love. It breaks my heart, and I cry the words, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Suddenly I know it's not too late. It's not too late at all. I've been given power to become a child of God. This is only the beginning, and there is time.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, even in your deepest agony, you listened to the crucified thief. Hear us as we unburden to you our deepest fears. You spoke words of love in your hour of death. Help us to speak words of life to a dying world. To you, Jesus, who offer hope to the hopeless, be honour and glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they pierced him in the side?
Jesus on the cross, his mother and his friend. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home.
A mother should never have to watch her son face a slow and horrible death. Perhaps only those who have suffered in this way can imagine what Mary is experiencing. What other horror is there when that death is inflicted by others? She stands there with a friend and their grief is terrible. They can do nothing to take away Jesus' pain or end his torment. What light can there be in this darkness which annihilates all that made life worthwhile? We watch as his mother and his friend do, but we can't see with their eyes, hear with their ears, know with their minds, or feel the anguish of their breaking hearts. We haven't lived alongside them, through joy and laughter, through tears and grief, and now towards death. Even if we could reach them, speak to them, tell them that he will live again, would it make their pain and grief any easier to bear? If they could hear us, maybe we could push back the darkness just a little, enough to restore a seed of faith that it will not, after all, overcome completely. For as Jesus shows his love for his mother and his friend, we see that there really is nothing, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any heavenly powers, neither the world above or the world below, nothing in all creation that can separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ, even as he suffers on the cross. Mary and the disciple reach us and call us to be like them, united by their love of Jesus, and called to do so, they care for one another. So too, we are called to be the Christ light in each other's darkness.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, your mother and your dearest friend stayed with you to the bitter end. Yet even while racked with pain, you ministered to them. Be with all broken families today, and care for those who long for companionship. You cared for your loved ones, even in your death throes. Give us a love for one another that is stronger even than the fear of death. To you, Jesus, loving in the face of death, be honour and glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and for ever. Amen.
Were you there when his mother saw her son? Were you there when his mother saw her son? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when his mother saw her son?
Jesus dies on the cross. Mark chapter 15, verses 34 to 37. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, listen, he's calling for Elijah. And some ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to take him down. Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last.
Is it nothing to you, or you who pass by? Look and see if there's any sorrow like my sorrow. Broken, grieving, and forsaken, the heart of the Son of Man is still by death. And the pain is felt by the great heart, which sustains the life of all creation. For an infinitesimal fraction of a second, it is as if the entire universe suffers with the one through whom it came into being. In that undetectable splinter of time, the darkness believes it has overcome the light it hates, But the truth is that in that splinter, all things are made new. Never again can there be any doubt that love, light and life are at the heart of all that is, seen and unseen. And because love, light and life are at the heart of all that is, we can know that one day chaos will give way to patterns of order. Apparently random and meaningless events will give way to purpose and design. Hatred and violence will give way to the redemption of love and healing. As Jesus gives one loud, desperate cry and breathes his last, we know the truth. On the cross, something new is being revealed. So let the cross be for us a symbol of meaning, purpose, love, and above all, new life in the one whose human life was ended by the darkness of our world, but whose spirit is the light which enlightens everyone. Is it nothing to you, or you who pass by? No, Lord, it is everything to us. On the cross is a new revelation of the reality of your presence in our suffering. And in that revelation, we see your glory. The glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you died on the cross and entered the bleakest of all circumstances. Give courage to those who die at the hands of others. In death, you entered into the darkest place of all. Illumine our darkness with your glorious presence. To you, Jesus, your lifeless body hanging on the tree of shame, be honour and glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Jesus laid in the tomb. Matthew 27, verses 57 to 66. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away.
Joseph takes you into his arms, wonder and love in his eyes. Watched by your exhausted, loving mother, he cleans the blood from your naked, tired and battered body. He wraps you in strips of cloth and lays you down in a manger, a bed not your own, but welcome and safe. Another Joseph takes you into his arms, grief and love in his eyes. Watched by your exhausted, loving mother, he cleans the blood and dirt from your naked, battered and lifeless body. He wraps you in strips of cloth and lays you down in a tomb, not your own, but welcome after the excruciating pain and public humiliation that have gone before. Our birth brings us life in an uncertain and ever-changing world. At the beginning, we are vulnerable, dependent on others to care for us as we grow and begin to live our lives. Throughout, we remain vulnerable, not knowing when or how our end will be, and dependent on others to lay us to rest. You, who are of all things the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, have shared the vulnerability of being human. Between the manger and the tomb, you lived your life among us, and we beheld your glory, full of grace and truth. For now your life is ended, your body hidden to rest in darkness. It has to be so. You could not live among us without being born. Being born, you could not avoid death. And we know that it is only through death and from the tomb that you could rise to new life in resurrection light, which you offer to all who follow you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Lord of life, you became as nothing for us. Be with those who feel worthless and as nothing in the world's eyes. You were laid in a cold, dark tomb and hidden from sight. Be with all who suffer and die in secret, hidden from the eyes of the world. To you, Jesus, your rigid body imprisoned in a tomb, be honour and glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and for ever. Amen.
Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Ooh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Standing at the foot of the cross, let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Eternal God, in the cross of Jesus we see the cost of our sin and the depth of your love. In humble hope and fear, may we place at his feet all that we have and all that we are, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.